words I speak are yours. And I pray that I would speak the truth in love, that we may grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Now, if you notice, bulletin says, speak the truth in love. Now, I definitely got, through the Lord, that Ephesians 4:15 was the verse. And I thought for a while it was going to be the whole chapter, but actually the chapter, if you want, chapter is a great chapter, and actually in many ways that chapter would be a reflection of our meeting that we'll have afterwards. It's what I would pray also at this time. Because it is a wonderful word, except the Lord told me specifically, hear the truth in love. Now, I'm one speaking, so I have the responsibility of speaking the truth in love also, but it was very important. He said, hear the truth in love. Now, one of the things, the question is, are we listening? It was interesting going through this in that there's an old saying, you've got two ears and one mouth, you should listen twice as often as, or something like that, then you speak. If you look at the Word of God, there is well over twice as many verses dealing with hearing than there is speaking, which was interesting. I found that interesting, that there was 460 that talked about speaking, and there was well over 1,000 that spoke about hearing. The other thing that the Lord impressed upon me is that in Revelation, 7 times it uses words like this. Actually, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And the Lord wants us speaking. This is a time when this verse and the verses like it in Revelations 2 and 3, speaking to the churches, is very important. Are we listening? Because the Lord speaks directly to the churches and to the people in the church. And so it's important to ask the question, is are we listening? And the other thing that we want to keep in mind is, go ahead and go to the next slide. If we are to this verse, instead speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Now that is, in many ways, the goal of the church here on earth, is that we are the body of Christ and we are to grow into that. It's something that we continuously do, or we do continually, the body grows. In fact, I would say, I mean, one of the interesting things is if we look at this century, at 9/11, people ran to the churches, and for about a year and a half, there was huge growth in the churches as far as people attending, and then it petered off in America to where it was back to where it was prior to that, or less. When COVID struck, in essence, you could say they chased us out of the churches, which was an interesting dichotomy. And one of the things that we need to really see is, where is the health of the church right now, if that's the case? If people were looking to us in 2001, but they were running away from us, in fact, had people that had authority and supposedly intelligence and so forth telling us not to publicly worship. It's just something for us to think about. But it comes down to, are we listening? And when we're listening, one of the things, if you're going to speak the truth in love, one of the things that you got to keep in mind is that When humans are speaking, we are deceived. Because, I wrote this little thing. I didn't get it on a slide, but I was just trying to get things together. And so this is, in a way, a theme for today's message. The truth is that mankind is lost in disobedience, rebellion, and sin. I mean, that is the truth. And I need to speak it. And in love, we, the human race, have been given a way back to the life with God. The Bible, God's word, is the revelation of that truth. Remember, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he spoke. And when Jesus spoke, he spoke the truth. Now, my prayer today is that I speak the truth and that I speak only what the Lord wants me to say. But I'm part of the human race. And we want to keep that in mind. Now, one of the things that I'm going to do today is I'm going to go through, I've got a lot of scriptures here. On some cases, I'm not going to read them all, just simply because what I want to show, and this is what I think the Lord wants us to show, is because, see, God's word is the revelation of the truth. And we are separated from God. But anyway, we're just going to go through this, and one of the things that we want to look at or consider is how has this revelation come about and what does hearing have to do with it, but also we listen so that we can speak. And that's also very clear in the Bible. We need to listen to the word so that we can speak. If we're not listening to the word, we should probably be quiet. And we also, it tells us to listen to the Spirit, which is actually said that we are in Revelation. It is very specific in Revelation, which is at the end of the Bible, that it tells us to listen to the Spirit. Okay, go ahead and go to the next one. Adam and Eve were listening. I mean, they knew God better than any other human being. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden, and they hid. God asked, "Where are you?" And at least, I mean, Adam knew enough to answer. Because he knew God knew where he was anyway, because he knew God better than we do. And he said, "I heard you in the garden, I was afraid. Because I was naked, I hid." Now, this tells us the state of mankind. At the time, they were fallen. They knew they had fallen. They were afraid, and they were hiding. They also knew to listen to the Lord because they had known the Lord. Go to the next one. Do we have ears to hear and eyes to see? Now, one of the things, especially in the Old Testament, I mean, sayings like this occur at least 29 times in the Bible. And quite often it comes to us as a question. Do we have ears to hear and eyes to see? Now, this is the time just prior to Moses' death. Moses summons all the Israelites and says to them, "Your eyes have seen all that the Lord did in Egypt." But to this day, the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. Now it's interesting that it says, "But the Lord has not given you." Now, the reason for that is, and I hope that in this, by the end, you will see that the truth is not fully revealed here. Even if someone showed them the truth, they wouldn't fully understand it. Because the truth needed Jesus to die on the cross and rise again. And that was something that even if you looked at the disciples at the time of Jesus, even after the resurrection, they still did not fully understand it. Now, the other thing that we want to get from this too is the Lord is sovereign and he knows what he's doing. The other thing that we need to know, and I heard this, well, my son-in-law spoke it last week when I was there, and I just thought, that's a good saying. Lord is 100% sovereign, and we are 100% responsible for what we do. But thank God, he paid the price for what we've done. And we've been set free. It wasn't anything that we did. We were still responsible. He doesn't take that responsibility away from us because God is honest. He's a righteous judge. But he can, because the price has been paid, remove it. But I want you to see this right here. It says, during the 40 years, this is one of those interesting statements too. During the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out, your sandals, nor did the sandals on your feet. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other fermented drink. What he's saying is, you saw me at work. Not only did you see what happened in Egypt, you saw what happened when we were in the desert, even though you complained a lot. You were still there. Now, this statement, I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord your God. Now, there's another book in the Bible that uses this statement, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. So we'll go to Ezekiel. Now, this is the time of the exile. Now, this is after we had the kings. We had Saul, then he was deposed, and we ended up with David, a man after God's own heart, even though he also lusted and other things. But yet, and then you go through the time of the kings, the separation, the breaking in of Judah and Israel, the 10 tribes and the two, and all this. And he says, the Lord came to me, son of man, you are living among a rebellious people. Now they're in Babylon, in exile. This is prior to the destruction of the temple, but it won't be too long and the temple is going to be destroyed, the one that Solomon built. They have eyes to see, but did not see. Ears to hear, but did not hear. Now notice the human condition and how it's changing. They now have eyes and ears, but it also is a responsibility that, do we hear? I mean, they didn't see and they didn't hear. They ended up rebellious, they ended up in exile. But the progression of truth is going on. A lot of the story has happened. I mean, a lot was learned in Moses' time. A lot was revealed and so forth. Go on to the next one. The people of Jesus' day, if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces calling out to others. We played a pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he is a demon. He has a demon. The Son of Man came, he didn't drink, and they say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right in her deeds. Now, notice again, Jesus, the response to Jesus, even though he's here now and he's in his ministry, and John, they're asking, they're questioning, because John, they were very impressed with John. A lot of people went out to see him, even Pharisees went out and they were baptized. They knew their need. And part of that is there because it's setting up the stage. Now, I put this woe in here, woe on unrepentant towns. Now, right after this, and it's not a thing, it's just something that is one of those things. All these people that were healed, had demons cast out of them in Capernaum, different places, not necessarily all of them. Many ended up being saved also. But many that were healed of their diseases and sicknesses by Jesus and were fed by the 5,000 and 4,000, many of those people didn't turn from their sin, even with the Lord working in it. Now, notice, whoever has ears, let them hear. Notice how the words are changing. There's more available. Again, Jesus has come. More of the truth is revealed because now Jesus is here and he has been telling people that he is the Messiah, which was part of the earlier, that expectation of the Messiah. Go ahead and go to the next one. Now, the parable of the sower. Now, I'm not going to read this first part. Just simply, it's there. I thought about it, but you know the parable of the sower. And I'm hoping that one of the things in this time, and as we prepare for what's ahead, we need to know the stories of the Bible because they give us insight into our own lives and into the lives of others, and especially into the lives of the people that we will be here for when that time comes. There will be a time when that's going to come. But again, this whoever has ears, let them hear. Because you see, Jesus is just about to be revealed, or is being revealed, as the Messiah. And so he's really looking for people in his parables. And there are other parables that do this. Go to the next page. But this one is very important because a lot of truth is revealed in this. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you and not to them." Now that almost sounds exclusive. But yet it is there. But the disciples are close enough to Jesus, and part of the purpose of the disciples, and when you think about the Great Commission that will be coming up, is we carry the truth with us. But if we don't understand it, how can those around us understand? And so it's a prelude, you might say, to the Great Commission. Because we have to understand that we are part of God working through us so that others can know him. And then down here a little bit further, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them was fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For the people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. But notice, some hearing is taking place. And even with your eyes closed, I mean, I can close my eyes during a sermon and still hear it. Anyway, that's what I think. But it's right there. But but again, it's a progression. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts and turn. And I would heal them. Now again, the opportunity. He's emphasizing in this parable the opportunity that he's giving for people to know to come to him. Now it isn't that they couldn't have known him before. I mean, it's there, but I just want to point out the progression. Go ahead and go to the next page. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. So blessed are your eyes and ears because you do hear. And I'm pronouncing and decreeing that over this church, that you do hear and you do see, because we are going to need to be able to see and hear. And our hearing and sight and understanding needs to be heightened. Many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. If anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. Now again, there are forces that are working against our knowing, our hearing, and seeing. And so we want to know that. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and receives it with joy, but has no root, doesn't stand on it, and they last for a short time. The seed, I'm skipping a little bit, but notice trouble and persecution comes because of the word. That comes because of the word. And I should have probably highlighted that also. But the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word. Again, they're hearing the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word. Do we allow the problems we encounter in our life to get in the way of the word, to get in the way of the truth? Because that is the intention of the enemy. But it's also, remember, that we are also disobedient and rebellious by nature. And so don't just blame Satan. As long as we have flesh in us, says that the spirit and the flesh will fight. There will be that conflict. And then, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what is sown. Again, that understanding is what the Lord wants. But this is an important parable. There are other parables that actually also speak to this. I didn't put them in because this one does a nice job with that. There's other things here that are important, but go ahead and go on to the next one. Speaking of speaking, do not judge or you will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged with the measure you use. It will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Now, again, speaking the truth in love. Judgment usually comes through words. I mean, when you're judged or when you become offended by different things, it's usually words, or words quite often are what do it, and so we have to be careful with our speaking. Go ahead and go to the next one. Now, question here is this: did Jesus always speak in love? Blind Pharisees, clean the inside of the cup, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Now, I'm going to answer my own question. Yes, Jesus spoke in love. Pharisees, teachers of the law, it'd be like if Jesus was to speak to us today, if he was to speak to me today, I should know better than a lot of the things that I do. I should know better that sometimes when I speak, I should know better. I should be more thoughtful. I should spend more time listening to the Spirit and then speak than to just simply speak. And so I need to take this to heart. Now, the neat thing of this is, go to the next one. Jesus to a Pharisee, Nicodemus. Now see, the truth is being revealed. Many Pharisees came to know the Lord, especially after his resurrection, because many were listening. There were some that didn't. And there were some, now I don't know how much Paul, if Paul ever interfaced with Jesus before time, but he had to have heard of him because, I mean, even though he was just possibly a boy at the time when Jesus was ministering or younger, he was probably under Gamaliel's teaching at that time or something, but he would have heard stories. And so he had some background. But here, this story, I mean, well, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the ruling council, he was a Pharisee. I'm going to skip down. Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And of course, he says, "How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. We are flesh and we are spirit. And when we're resurrected, we will be flesh and spirit and soul." I mean, we will still be. I mean, that we our flesh will not be like it is today. But I can't believe that we won't have some sort of physicalness. We're not just going to be ethereal. And this speaks to that very much here. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. "You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Now, the interesting thing is, being born of the Spirit, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit is present with you. Now, I don't know, I mean, I might be speaking a little bit out right here because, but I believe that when you, or maybe it should be, the more we know of the Spirit, as we get baptized in the Spirit, we act more like the wind. Going here and there, you hear a sound, but it comes and it goes. We come and we go. I mean, we have to be careful that we are listening to the Spirit. So if the Spirit says, like Philip, he went, and then he found himself someplace else. I mean, it's interesting when we look at some of these stories of the disciples and so forth. And I don't want to go, but he had the Spirit. I mean, that's how he was chosen to be one of the leaders in the church. But he was obedient. He was listening. And that's just a very important thing. But again, see this progression. The truth is being fully revealed. You must be born again. Next slide. "Very truly, I tell you, we speak what we do not know, of what we know. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Again, this speaks again of the truth, bringing it much closer. And he's speaking to Nicodemus, someone who was knowledgeable. And he would have also known that the snake that Moses lifted up was destroyed because it became an idol. And so because the neat thing about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law is that they knew it. I mean, actually, many children knew the Old Testament, because that was the scriptures in those days, better than adults do today in the church. And we should be almost ashamed of that. We should be. I mean, it's... Now, here's the one that everybody, of course, knows. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Go to the next one. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Now, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Light has come into the world, but the people love darkness instead of light. Deeds are evil. Again, I'm going to leave this, but again, it's God is sovereign, and in his sovereignty, he has brought his Son. His Son was obedient. He is the second person of the divinity also, which is, I mean, it's one of those things, but Jesus was human, still is. He has that human quality where the Father doesn't, which is one of those interesting things, because it's going to allow us into the presence. It does allow us into the presence of the Father. And why we are so honored that he would allow us to do that. But maybe cats and dogs never sinned. I don't know. But I'm not going to go there. Anyway, the truth is being revealed. Go ahead and go on to the next one. Hearing the truth in love. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now again, I want to bring this up. Because at this point, the whoever is still there. This is after the resurrection. But we now also have the Spirit after Pentecost. And in our belief, the Spirit is there, but also after Pentecost. And again, it's an aid to our listening. I mean, he wants us to hear what the Spirit is saying. Now, the reason he wants that is because the Spirit will always point you to Jesus. He will also point you to the Word, because the Word is. Jesus is the Word made flesh. It also says that this Word is going to last longer than the earth, into eternity. Now, I do want to make the connection. I mean, we do want to hear the truth in love. But hearing the truth in love is something that I didn't make it up. I believe the Lord gave it to me. But it is not part of Scripture. I did not give a Scripture reference for it. But we are to speak the truth in love. And the purpose is we will grow into in every respect to mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Now again, I'm going to reemphasize this because I think this is an important thing. The truth is that humankind is lost in disobedience, rebellion, and sin. And we are part of humankind as long as we're here and before the Lord comes. Now, when he does come, that will change for many of us instantly. The millennial kingdom, I'm not going to get into because I've got a lot to learn about that, and I don't know that it's fully revealed yet. So I'm going to leave that alone, because right now we need to be focused on the fact that Jesus is coming. And he has given us, the church, something to do. And it's there. But we are disobedient, rebellious, and sinful. And in love, we have been given the way back to the life with God. The Bible, God's Word, is the revelation of that truth. Now, what I wanted, and I believe the Lord wants us to see, is that the whole Scripture is important, We have to have the Old and New Testament, because I know there are people out there telling you you don't. But if you notice that progression and how the Lord chose the people of Israel through Abraham, and even through Abraham, he isolated it down to where it was through Jacob. And even after that, there's been... But Israel has a special place, and I do want to say this. The church has not replaced Israel. And if you've been noticing anything about what's been going on in the last, 75 years, but actually even intensifying more in these last three, the neat thing is just how much has been going on and how much the focus is there. Even Russia, in complaining about what was happening yesterday, with this, I forget the guy's name, but he was complaining about the United States and the United Kingdom all being against him, and this coup is just from them, and that unnamed land in the Middle East. And it was interesting that that's the way it was put when this guy was speaking. It's just interesting to see how one of the smallest nations and people groups in the world can get such press. Anyway, go on to the next one. We need to be aware. Now here, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I've been very trying to emphasize, although I'm mostly after the truth in this case, but when the way came up and the life came up, I tried to make it at least maybe a little louder, I hope. Now, hearing the truth in love. When someone is speaking, it is extremely important that we are hearing and discerning the truth. Now, see, I'm speaking right now. Prayerfully, and that's one of the prayers I have anytime I speak, I try to either privately or I love having Don and Sandy there, just having someone here to pray before I go up to speak. Because I want, when I'm speaking, to be what the Lord's saying. But I'm human. You should take what I say to the Word. You should take it to the Lord. You should listen to the Spirit. In fact, if you're discerning, hopefully the Spirit's telling you, that wasn't quite right. But you want to be careful. But the thing is, when someone's speaking, and one of the things that I've learned, I learned it a lot in school, because, believe it or not, some people, I've been criticized before for my teaching habits, both by parents, superintendents, principals. And the one thing that the Lord brought it to a real serious point at one time, some of you may know the story, but that's irrelevant. But the thing it did for me was it caused me to seek the Lord. And the one thing I learned from that, and it's probably one of the most valuable things that I've ever gotten, is that when someone's criticizing me especially, or telling me something, or like Jesus speaking the truth in love to the Pharisees, he wanted them to say, hear the truth. And he just simply said, listen, what's true, what isn't true? And it helped me to say, when someone would point out a truth about a place where I was wrong, that the Lord helped me to see it. That's something that the Spirit wants us doing. And when people are speaking, he's going to speak through people. He can also speak through books, but that's speaking through people. You can read other books besides the Bible, but the Bible is the truth. Now, we do want to be discerning and allow the Lord to speak through people that you may even, have no relationship with. Just a parent that's angry, but yet, if they're angry, there was something that I did or happened in my classroom in that case that, what was it? It may not have, in many cases, it was something I didn't even notice. I was oblivious because When you have other cultures, you don't know when you might accidentally insult one, especially when you speak flippantly, which I would sometimes do, or just, you know, you'd say something off the wall. But you want to consider that. But anyway, truth is often hard to hear. We each have our own perspective or agenda. I mean, perspective is actually safer than an agenda. If you have an agenda, people that have an agenda, then that becomes a different thing. But everybody has a different life experiences. I mean, some people, I found out, have been hurt terribly in their lives. Some very young. I mean, human trafficking is by far, it was just like there was a thing I saw, far worse than drug trafficking, although in the same level. But it's dealing specifically with people. And it's terrible. And it's getting worse. I mean, slavery has always been a bad thing, but there are more slaves today in the human trafficking by almost 10 times than there were slaves before the Civil War in America. And I don't want to make anything to say that there was anything necessarily good about it, except for it was. But life experiences, we come into things with different things. We have our own, we're each deceived in some ways because of how we grew up. We thought something was true, but it wasn't. The society wants to tell us that truth is relative. We each have our own truth. That's nonsense. Jesus is the truth. Now, a lot of people will see Jesus differently. And really, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as they're seeing Jesus, Jesus will bring them to him. And as more and more of Jesus is revealed to me, I mean, this week has been, it's been busy, actually. But, I mean, because this sermon has changed a lot since it started. But truth is not relative. Jesus is the truth. The other thing that we have to recognize within ourselves is we don't know the whole truth. I don't know the whole truth. I will continue to grow in my relationship with Jesus. But for me to say that I know the whole truth at this time, I can't. But we want to give people grace. This is where grace comes in. Go to the next slide. James, this is from James. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kinds of first fruits of all he created. Now, what's neat is every good and perfect gift. Now, again, keep in mind that the first and most important gift that the Lord gave us was Jesus. He allowed his son, actually a part of his divinity. I mean, the Trinity is something that's difficult to fully explain. But he decided to become part of the human race through his son, Jesus, and actually was born a human. Which is, I mean, if you think about that, it's just absolutely fascinating what that implies and means, given our brokenness. I mean, that you just, it is the good and perfect gift from above. He gives us other gifts. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given each and every one of us a different gifting that he wants to employ, especially now in what's coming ahead. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I know for myself, it took decades, and I'm still not fully there, for me to just shut up for a little while. Because There's been times and in certain areas where I thought I knew a lot. And the more I learn, and also the more I learn of Jesus, the more he just simply tells me, don't speak. Because there's no reason to speak if no one's listening. Now you guys are listening, which is nice. It's wonderful. I know you're listening because the Lord's telling me you're listening. And that's important because he is growing us to be the body of Christ. He's doing it here. He's doing it in other churches. He's doing it around the world. And he is going to draw us together. And I really believe there's going to be a harvest, but there's also going to be persecutions. There's going to be times when we're going to have to lean on each other. There are going to be tragedies in our lives. And we need each other. And so we are to listen and hear the truth before we speak. And we're to grow together. And that's what this body is all about. It is a wonderful body. We fluctuate, we go up and down, we have our ins and outs, but it is a wonderful group of people that the Lord has put together here. And he will be drawing more people here. And we need to be prepared because the time is short. And, well, again, I don't know how short. I mean, whether it's 3 months or 20 years, or even 100 years, doesn't really matter, but every generation must know. And I believe the next one's black. Yep. Oh, I made it. Okay. Well, Lord, do bless this congregation. Lord, I do pray again that you would give us a mind that understands, ears that hear, and eyes that see, so that we can listen to your Spirit and give us that discernment that you intend for us. Lord, bring our gifts to the forefront so that we can work together and draw in those that you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name.